Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Schwani, this could be a big morning for us all. Andy?
Yes?
We could all be knighted on today's show.
Oh, nice.
That's what I'm hoping.
So that means you'll get to call me sir.
Yeah, that's never going to happen. But Sir Schwani?
Yes.
That doesn't sound very Camelot-like. No. Sir Schwani.
Sir Schwani.
No, Sir David. It will be David.
Sure, Sir David of Schwaniness? Schwanishire?
Oh, okay, Schwanville, I'll buy that. Okay, I'll go along with that.
Sir David of Schwanishire.
Shakaquan.
We have actual royalty on the show today. The prince and princess of Greece from the Greek royal family are in Chicago. They have an event at the National Hellenic Museum. And the prince and princess are going to stop by to the show today.
Nice. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. See if maybe they want to do the far-flung forecast. Have them do one of our, what I learned in the elevator, one of our fine segments that we do on the show today. So,
are they bringing some, what is it called, Saganaki?
Saganaki, I want baklava is what I want.
Actually, if you were paying attention, I brought a variety of Greek pastries the prince and princess to enjoy this morning.
You did?
Yeah, but keep your mitts out of here until they get here. That's for company. That's not for us right now. After the company leaves, you can have some.
Did I ever tell you the story?
I'm going to tell the prince and princess the story of you in Greektown.
No.
I should have brought the photos for them to take a look at.
Yeah, someday I want to hear this story.
Oh, that's okay.
The mystery, the story.
That will be done during a closed door session.
Okay. All right. Yeah, after I'm dead.
And after I scramble to your house to get the pictures,
These photos are way too incriminating, really, for all of us involved. Schwani, Sir David of Schwanishire, especially.
Schwanishire. Say that fast three times.
I can barely say it once slow. it is very, very profound watching the procession of the Queen, her final trip, as you've been putting it, her final trip to London, going by her favorite places. It's very melancholy to watch the hearse, but also
what beautiful countryside it's driving
gorgeous.
Through. Fantastic.
I've done that ride. It's gorgeous. But also very profound with the hearse and the other motor vehicles, a riderless horse accompanying the hearse for her love of horses and riding
and animals,
and animals,
right? Especially fond of the dogs, the corgis.
Yep.
So
and the anniversary of 9/11 as well. We've got a lot going on today, much of which is not very happy, but we'll try to get you through this Sunday morning. Let's kick things off in a second.
Did you weep for the children who lost their dear loved ones? Pray for the ones who don't know.
The very moving song by Alan Jackson, Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning?
Sob for the ones.
Song about September 11th. For which we are at the 21st anniversary. Can you guys believe that?
No.
Doesn't it seem like a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Not 21 years ago, that's for sure.
Not 21 years ago. I was right here at WGN when the world stopped turning. Mm-hmm. What? I had a TV set on in the background, because it was always on, but I was listening to Spike. Spike Odell was on in the morning that day. And suddenly everybody was wondering what was going on. A plane hit the World Trade Center. And remember, everybody thought it was a private plane at first.
Right.
That hit the building. And then all hell broke loose after, just shortly after that.
Well, after the second plane hit.
After the second plane, it became obvious we were under attack.
Then. Yeah.
Where were you? Andy, where were you when the world stopped turning?
I was just telling Schwani that I was covering the Bears back then for the station, and we were at the Bears opener. It was in Baltimore on September 9th. It was a Sunday, and we flew back from BWI to Chicago Monday, September 10th at 8:55 a.m. That's when our flight left.
Oh, wow.
And it was an off day in the NFL, so I was actually, you know, resting up. And I had a roommate at the time, and he was banging on my door, and he never would, you know, knowing that I was sleeping. He goes, "You got to turn the TV on." I said, "What channel?" He goes, "Any channel."
Mm.
And I turned it on. I was like, "Whoa."
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah.
What's going on? Were you working, Schwani? Were you reporting the news or something?
Yes, I was. I was at Illinois Radio Network at the time. We had offices here in Chicago and a bureau in Springfield, which covered the state capitol and state politics. And as I was just telling Andy here just a few moments ago, I was morning anchor, and we did quarter-hour updates that were about 2 minutes long, that the stations could use either live or at the top of the hour whenever they wished. But it was 7:46.
Right before the planes.
Right. And I got done with that live report. I made a quick phone call to someone, and I came out of the studio into a general work area. We had a number of workstations set up. It's kind of like in here in the newsroom where it's just an open area. And TVs were on, and our sports person there said, "Dave, you might want to take a look at this. Plane just hit the World Trade Center." And then certainly not long after that, then the second plane hit. And then within the hour, we got word of the plane hitting the Pentagon.
And
that sort of thing. And then Pennsylvania coming up later on that morning. Yeah. And by that time, I think by 11, 12 noon, all domestic flights had been grounded.
Yeah. And then the buildings coming down and the people running in the streets covered in debris and ash, people jumping from, jumping.
Yes, yes.
Horrible.
Yes.
I'll never forget seeing Carol Marine on the streets of New York being interviewed on CBS. She happened to be in New York at the time, almost a victim of 9/11. Just horrible, 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 horrible. I was in New York recently and for the first time visited the 9/11 Memorial.
You hadn't been there before?
I had never been there before. Mm. Yeah, I'd never been there before. And went through the museum and everything. I posted some pictures on Facebook this morning. It's just very moving to remember it all. And I hope everybody will take a minute today to remember all of that. Because it was a horrific moment in American history. So
the other memory I have when I finally finished work about 3 o'clock that afternoon is going through downtown here in the Loop area.
It's like a ghost town.
And it was. There was no activity because everybody went home. They were sent home. We later found out that what was then called Sears Tower, Willis Tower, could have been a target as well. And that building was evacuated.
Yeah, I remember that. I mean, we were all, just kind of huddled together.
Yeah.
At Tribune Tower and, where the radio station was. We didn't know what to do. Nobody knew nobody had ever covered anything like this. And it was amazing.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we were, putting our heads together. How do we do this?
Well, we were concerned for our own safety.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are we going to be attacked somehow in downtown Chicago? But also we have a responsibility. We have to broadcast what's going on. We have to be on the air. And at some point, we took, I think it was ABC News coverage, something. We took some national coverage.
Then it would have been ABC, yeah.
Because it was it was such a big story that they could cover much more thoroughly than we could. But, man, what a whirlwind. For weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, it was just a complete whirlwind.
Yeah, I remember living at the time in the suburbs, and we were directly in a flight path, in a flight pattern. I mean, it just became, background noise. You hear it, and you're like, oh, okay, another plane going to O'Hare. And then when all the planes were grounded for a few days there, it was so eerie not to hear
silent.
A plane go over your head.
Silent, yeah, yep. Silent. Well, anyway, so we're dealing with that today. We're dealing with the beginning of the memorial and funeral coverage for the Queen. There's not very much happy stuff going on today at all. We've got this dreary day. Are the Bears going to win today, Andy?
Well, I'm going to say take the opposite of what I think. So I think they're going to lose today.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, maybe there's a bright
take
spot.
Take that for what it's worth.
What a positive way to start off the season.
Yeah. You know, you fade me. That's what you do. You bet the other way.
Yeah. Flip it over like a pancake.
Exactly.
It's Andy's pancake football forecast. Flip it over on the
okay,
other side.
Okay. There it is. If Andy says they're going to lose, maybe they're going to win.
Flip it. Flip it and put some maple syrup on it.
You got it.
And enjoy.
And bring some to me.
So there's no far-flung forecast for today. This is our first abbreviated show of the football season because Hamp and OB will be coming on at 11. So we have an abbreviated show today. So we've had to abbreviate everything. And we've got some special interviews to share this morning. So, Schwani, we had to preempt your far-flung forecast.
Now, did you file the proper paperwork to do this?
Probably not.
No, I didn't think so.
Yeah, probably not. But when we come back from this break, my one-on-one interview with former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and her daughter Chelsea about their new documentary that's coming out.
WGN, dancing through the fire.
It's 9:25. This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. This week on Apple TV Plus, a new docuseries premiered called Gutsy. It is an examination each week of several women who have done extraordinary, remarkable things despite all odds against them. Now, this series is hosted by former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and her daughter, Chelsea Clinton, who I had the pleasure of talking with one-on-one this week and taking their gutsiness back to when they were here in the Chicago area.
You know that I'm wondering, Secretary, if your gutsiness began in Park Ridge right here in the Chicago area.
Yes, you know, born in Chicago, moved to Park Ridge. It certainly did. It was nurtured by my family, my neighborhood, my public school teachers, my church. I was just this weekend up in Wisconsin with a bunch of my friends from elementary and high school years. And, it was a great place to grow up and gave me a wonderful, you know, foundation in life.
Were you a gutsy kid? I mean, is that something that a woman can have when they're young, or is it something that is developed and comes from experience, do you think?
Well, I'll tell you a story. When I was about 4.5 years old, we had just moved into our house in Park Ridge, and it was, you know, post-World War II, boomer generation, lots of kids. And my mother would send me out to play, and every day the kids would push me down. They would say mean things to me, and I'd go running in the house. And finally, one day, my mother met me at the door and said to me, "There's no room for cowards in this house. Go back out there, figure out how you're going to deal with it." I honestly thought my life was over. I thought, this is it. I've been exiled from my house. My mother told me she was standing behind the drapes in the dining room shaking, you know, but she felt like she had to make me face the meanness, the bullying. So I did. And they were surprised to see me, and they kind of pushed me, and I pushed them back, and then it was over, and we were friends for the rest of the time I lived there. It was a great life lesson.
Talk about a life lesson that came in handy for the rest of both
kidding.
Of your lives, really. In watching Gutsy, Chelsea, I'm just so blown away by the openness and the complete honesty, not only of your subjects that you're interviewing, but from both of you as well. I wonder if it must have been a little bit cathartic in a way to deal with some things that could have been, you know, for some people might have been painful to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Well, none of it was scripted, Dean. So the conversations we had evolved organically. Certainly, we asked questions. We also made it very clear that the women we were speaking with should and we hoped would feel comfortable asking questions of us. We wanted it to be a conversation. We wanted to have experiences together. So it felt not just like a set of interviews, but really kind of an ongoing effort to get to know the people we were spending time with. And so the authenticity, the sincerity, the transparency, the openness was all really important to us. And, you know, I'll just say, certainly for me, had I been asked anything I didn't want to answer, I just would have said, I don't want to answer that. But I would have never said to anyone, you can't ask a question, because that wouldn't have been the way that we wanted kind of the relationships we were building with these women to be able to share their stories, to share what we think of gutsiness. You know, that wouldn't have worked. So the honesty, you know, and the openness was really important to us.
I loved your interview subjects. I loved learning about these people and their qualities. I loved seeing you both bowling.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, when Wanda Sykes showed up with her own bowling ball, yeah, and her custom made bowling shoes, I thought,
that's intimidating.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
It was so intimidating. And oh my, I mean, I can only hope you take this on total trust. I mean, I used to be somewhat better years ago, but honestly, it was embarrassing.
I've never been good.
Yeah, the docuseries is called Gutsy and is a profile of some remarkable stories and remarkable women. I can't recommend it enough to you. I know many of you are very polarized about Hillary Clinton. That's your decision to make. But if you want to see some amazing stories about other people have done, and really what the Clintons have done, honestly, it's all there in that docuseries. It's on Apple TV Plus. We'll feature these interviews tomorrow on the WGN TV morning news as well. 9:41, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. And time for our weekly chat with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital.
Summer rain taps at my window.
Not exactly summer rain, but rain that we're dealing with outside this morning. We'll keep you posted on all of that. In the meantime, Kevin, my friend, good morning. How are you, Doctor?
Gene, I am doing great. How about yourself?
Now, you are an avid golfer. You wouldn't be out on a daily, like a morning like this, would you? Out there, or would you?
I'm glad you clarified that and said a morning like this, because I'm really hoping that the rain goes through and we're able to play this afternoon.
I guess my basic question is, how crazy are you really?
No, I'm not crazy enough. I don't play in rain. You know, we have enough nice days here that I can take the rain days off. But if the rain stops, I have some good friends coming in this afternoon, and we'll definitely get out there and play.
Are you a snow golfer? Are you one of those people out there with the orange golf ball in the middle of the snow?
You know, it's interesting with my brothers. You know, it used to be 55 was our kind of a cutoff, and then it got to 50 degrees, and now I think it's down to about 38 degrees. So if it's sunny, then the brothers want to be out there playing, and we will.
I love that. I love that you are passionate like that. I'm the same way with grilling, by the way. That would be my equivalent of the grilling. If it's not 20 below zero, pretty much I'll stand in front of the grill. It doesn't bother me one bit. So I guess, you know, really the COVID news this week is that the fourth booster is here, the more effective booster. And I think we've all heard, you know, that it's being recommended that people get it to protect yourself against the latest variants. But what should we know at this point? What should we be doing at this point?
Yeah, you know, I think, Dean, the hesitancy in trying to get rid of the hesitancy is probably the big thing. You know, people are saying, well, it's a brand new vaccine, and what are the side effects? Although we have very limited data, just a week or so, but we have million some plus doses already in people's arms, and the side effect profile is great. A little arm, you know, soreness, but really very, very good. And we have to remember that BA4 and BA5 are just running rampant right now across the entire United States, and this vaccine will protect you from that. Different than the original COVID vaccine we're trying to protect from hospitalization and death, this vaccine is actually to block the BA4, BA5 infection from even occurring.
Okay, so who is eligible to get it right now?
Yeah, so eligibility for this vaccine, it's pretty simple. 2 months since your last booster. So anybody that says, well, I only had one booster, do I have to get the... No, the original booster is now gone. That booster is no longer approved. This is the only booster that's approved right now. So that's 2 months since your last one. If you've been infected recently, like myself, I have to wait 3 months. And that's because I have enough natural immunity right now mm-hmm. to protect myself from another infection. And then individuals say, well, you know what? I'm finally going to jump on the bandwagon now. I haven't gotten any shots. You need to get those original two just because the amount of the strength of those vaccines is much higher than the booster. So that's pretty much it right now for the kind of the cases.
It's pretty much all ages.
Yeah. You know, if you're between the ages of 12 and 18, you have to make sure that you're at the right place, right? Pfizer has been approved for over the age of 12. Moderna has been approved for over the age of 18. So if you're in that 15-year range, you know, have the parent or the patient call the CVS or the Walgreens or your doctor's office, wherever you're getting it, and make sure that they have the Pfizer. Everybody over the age of 18, you can get either Pfizer or Moderna.
Let's get to some questions. John at 312-981-7200. You're on with Dr. Kevin Most. Good morning. John, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead. You're on.
Yeah, my question is pretty simple. I'm scheduled to give platelets, blood. You know, I do it 2 times a week, and I'm wondering if I get my booster, will giving blood or my platelets affect that shot at all?
Well, I'll tell you what. Dr. Most, the connection we had with Dr. Most dropped. Are we set to go? Are we set to go? We are set to go back. All right. So let me see here. Kevin, are you there?
I am. I got cut off there a little bit, but I think we were waiting for a question from John.
And John, just real quick, summarize your question for us one more time for Dr. Most.
Absolutely. I would like to get my booster, my third booster, no problem. But I schedule every week to give platelets twice a week. Will that affect the resistance of the booster at all, or does it matter that I shouldn't get blood for a couple weeks? Or
Nope, you're fine to go. And thank you for doing that. It's very important. John, giving platelets. Platelets are the portion of our blood that help for blood clotting, and we use a lot of platelets in the hospital. So certainly we appreciate that. It doesn't impact your immune system at all. It actually impacts your clotting system. So your immune system, we're not taking those cells out of you. So you are totally fine to still give platelets and go ahead and get the vaccine.
John, thank you for your call. The 847 area code said, my wife and I just got the new booster. How long until it's fully effective? Should we continue to wear masks indoors in public?
Yeah, if you want to get the full effectiveness of any vaccine, it's about 10 to 14 days. That's why we say for influenza, make sure you get it towards the end, before the end of October, so that you're protected as we enter there. You already have some immunity already. So we expect, although we do say 10 to 14 days, we think that that will really ramp up within the first 5 to 7 days. So if they got it early on, they're hitting a point where they can be very comfortable here probably by mid next week.
Yeah, some disturbing patterns with regard to influenza and flu shots, flu season. Let's talk about that when we come right back. Take more of your calls, too, at 312-981-7200. 951, Dean Richards, Sunday morning with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospitals. And, Kevin, we are entering flu season, but we are entering it with early flu occurrences and high numbers of people getting the flu. Is that correct?
Southern Hemisphere, we haven't seen that yet here. But last year for their flu season, which is our, you know, they're in the opposite of us, obviously. So this was in like May. They saw really high numbers early. And that's our big concern is, are we going to see the same? Because we often mimic what happened in the Southern Hemisphere. So if we're going to get an early flu season like they did down there, it's kind of concerning because now we're sitting with a potential for an early flu season plus the BA4, BA5. And, you know, the chance of what we call a twindemic occurring is in the back of all our minds right now.
Okay. Now, you know, people may be confused because there have been so many vaccines and boosters and all that sort of thing. A flu shot is different from anything COVID-19 related, right?
Dean, I can't stress that enough, and I appreciate you bringing that point up because they are two totally different things. They're two totally different viruses. You're not going to get a COVID vaccine and it's going to protect you from influenza. You're not going to get an influenza vaccine to protect you from COVID. Really important this year for those over the age of 65, especially to get both these shots, because we know that the influenza in the past is, we usually have about 30,000 deaths from influenza. The last couple of years, we've had much lower numbers because of low numbers of influenza and then also high vaccination rates. So all those seniors, everyone over the age of 65, please make sure when you get vaccinated, you get that high dose vaccine. Ask, make sure and say, is this the high dose? And try to find that one instead of just getting the normal dose.
Yeah, pretty much they're available, just about anywhere you can think of right now. Megan is on the line, 312-981-7200. Megan, you're on with Dr. Kevin Most.
Thank you for taking my call. My son is a freshman at Marquette University, and his roommate, his throat started hurting. So we're afraid he might be getting a cold or maybe even COVID. My son, should he be wearing a mask while he is sleeping?
No, if they're sleeping a distance apart, he does not need to wear the mask while sleeping. Now, you do bring up an interesting point that we've seen in colleges across the country now as kids have come back. That population is a fairly low dose of vaccinated individuals. So we saw high, big spikes at U of I the first 2 weeks that school started. So certainly I would make sure that this individual gets tested. He can do a home test. If he's had symptoms yesterday and today, he can test at home. And then really, if he's positive, try to get those two separated and quarantined as much as you can, because it certainly is very contagious. And we know that the new booster is the one that's going to protect him from BA4 and BA5. Like you said, he's been boosted, but not with the new booster. So we know he can still get infected with the BA4, BA5.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Hopefully that made sense to you.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, and good luck to you on that. From the 219 area code, if you're getting a mammogram soon, should you wait on the booster? I think I heard it can affect the lymph nodes temporarily.
Correct.
Is that a factor? That's the first time hearing about that.
No. Dean, we actually talked about it in the past. So when we get a vaccine, it increases our immune system, which includes the lymph nodes. And with mammography, we want to make sure that the lymph nodes aren't inflamed unless they are inflamed because of other reasons besides infection. So individuals who are going to get the mammogram, get the mammogram, then get boosted, because you don't want that inflammatory response to show up with an enlarged lymph node that then will lead to further testing, when in fact it's exactly what the body wanted to do and meant to do for the infection and is not a sign of cancer.
Mary, you're on with Dr. Kevin Most. Go ahead.
Yes, I got the antiviral drug Paxlovid, and I don't know how long should I wait to get my new booster.
Yeah, Mary, so if you got Paxlovid, that means that you had an infection recently. So
yes,
you
did.
Should wait 3 months from the last, from when you got that infection until when you get boosted. So Paxlovid, great. I hope it worked well for you. It takes down those symptoms. Usually about day three, day four, you feel a lot better. Your immune system is still working, however, so you still have great protection. So you won't need the vaccine now for a couple of months, depending on when your infection was.
All right. Appreciate your call, Mary. Thank you. Dr. Most, as always, we appreciate your visit. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital. Have a great Sunday, Kev. Thank you. Hearing you playing some of that audio from the reading of the names of people who are victims at the World Trade Center.
The lady reading the name of her father there.
That breaks my heart every single year, and just reminds me to tell everyone, go visit the 9/11 Memorial in New York. I was there about a month ago, something like that, just for vacation, not to do interviews, not to work, anything. So I had time that I don't normally have when I'm in New York. And I went to visit the memorial, and it's beautiful, and it's powerful, and it's poignant. And among the things, I mean, you'll see they've done this so tastefully, exhibits of twisted metal and melted metal, and the remnants of the buildings that were still there, fire trucks that were crushed by the building falling on them. But most poignant of all, the names that are there. the names that you see around the pool, which is outside, but also inside, photos and the names of people who were lost that day. It's quite moving. On this day, 21 years, believe it or not, ago, at this moment when it was happening back then.
Yeah, I've been around those pools you talk about. I was there, I think, in 2016. And it does take your breath away, and you just kind of feel you feel presence there. You know what I mean? And there's also a reverence that's observed by a lot of people. I mean, there's a lot of activity in that area, going up to the Freedom Tower, and a lot of tourists, and a lot of people are hustling and bustling around. But when you get around those pools, there's a lot of silence. You hear the water rushing more than you hear people talking.
Yeah, you know, and people
and into the middle of Midtown Manhattan there too.
Yeah, you know, people with a piece of paper on a loved one's name, kind of tracing it, you know, and it's just hearing that reading of the names again just, you know, brings that all back again.
We were there in 2018 in May, and there might have been a special remembrance, a ceremony that took place there just before we arrived, because many of the names had white roses by them.
Yeah.
So there was something going on in addition to, you know, the remembrances that will go on forever now at on this day there. But that was in the middle of May in 2018, which made it even more poignant.
Yeah. Visit it if you can. If you're in New York, make that definitely something that you go and see. And definitely something you don't want to miss today. Andy Mazur is the new host of Hamp and OB. Pre and post game today.
I'm scripting all my ad libs right now.
Now, we have not had this in the past with a previous host. Andy's got a whip and a chair for some reason to control the host. I don't exactly know why.
You like my top hat?
That's going to be at 11 o'clock and then right after the game at 3 o'clock.
He was trying on the suit of armor here a little while ago.
I'm telling you.
I'm ready.
The question is, are we? We'll find out later on here.
With Bozo, the world's greatest clown.
Today is also the anniversary of the premiere of the Bozo Show. Bozo Circus on WGN-TV debuted for the first time ever out of historic Studio One, September 11th, 1961. The show remained on the air for 40 years, unprecedented. One of the most popular children's TV shows in America, for which at times there were 10-year waiting lists for tickets for that show, with Bob Bell and Ned Locke and Oliver, played by Ray Rayner, and Don Sandberg. And then later on, Roy Brown as Cookie and Marshall Brodeen as Wizzo, the Wizard, and the great Bob Trendler. Leading the Bozo Big Top Band, all started this day, 1961, a little WGN history. So our show today is, you know, we begin our first abbreviated show for the football season with Hamp and OB coming up at 11 o'clock. So we're kind of compressing some of our regular features to try to get everything in today. So we've got an early theater segment for you today. And I mentioned earlier that I'm going to be headed out to the Paramount Theater in Aurora later to see the debut of their fall production, Dreamgirls, the award-winning Dreamgirls from both Broadway and the stage. And Jim Cordy is the artistic director of the Paramount Theater. And Jim, it's great to have you back on the show. Hello there, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Dean.
So
it was just so fun to hear about Bozo's anniversary today.
He doesn't look a day over, I don't know, 30. I don't know. But yeah, it's some great Chicago history. How about that? You guys are turning out some great history out there theater-wise at the Paramount Theater. I know that, you know, you're up for more awards. You've won a ton of awards anyway. But this is the beginning of the Paramount's 11th annual Broadway series. Is that right?
That is correct. I like looking at it like the beginning of our next decade.
Oh, right.
Right? You know, here's to the future. but it's looking bright.
Yeah, and I know, you know, Dreamgirls is what we're going to be seeing tonight, but what are the other productions that you've got scheduled for the 2022-2023 season?
After Dreamgirls, there's The Sound of Music, then Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods, and then School of Rock.
Oh, boy. Okay. And the Sound of Music will be the holiday production this year, I guess, right?
Correct. Amber Mack is directing, and I'll be co-directing Into the Woods with Trent Stork, and then Trent is doing Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, School of Rock.
That's, I do that all. You did Rock of Ages already. The shows are all blending into each other. In addition to these shows that are on the main stage at the Paramount Theater, this year you started something new called the Bold Series right across the street at the new Copley Theater. Explain what that is.
Yes, it's been a really thrilling development. Creating theater that is not the most commercial, populist genre of theater. We opened with Sweat, followed it up with Hand of God, and now we've got Fun Home running. And these are shows that stimulate conversation, not necessarily resolutions with happy endings. It's more about what it makes you think about as a theater goer, as you sit there. And it's been really dynamic in that way for our audiences. It's very different theater fare, and everyone out here is really appreciating it.
Yeah, I know. I know that it's a more intimate theater, the Copley, as opposed to the, you know, the big old traditional gorgeous Paramount Theater.
Right, it's 165 seats.
Yeah,
in your face.
Those kind of shows are kind of conducive, aren't they, to shows that make you think, the shows that really kind of get under your skin a little bit, to give you something to talk about afterwards.
Yes, precisely. It's a very shared experience, and people are really feeling that and appreciating that. Very proud of it. And then we've got Bull, A Love Story, having its world premiere, written by Nancy Garcia Losa and directed by Laura Akala-Baker. And that all happened during the stay-home shutdown. It all happened on Zoom. There was a developmental reading, and it just turned out so good. Tim Rader, our president and CEO, wanted to make it, give it a full production. So everyone's really excited to get this going. Yeah. And
There's a lot going on. A lot going on out at the Paramount, and also now at the new Copley Theater right across the street. The production called Fun Home is running through next Sunday, September the 18th, so you can catch that. But Dreamgirls, I'm so excited to see the show. I never saw the original on Broadway, but I've seen so many clips of it, and of course the movie version, for which Jennifer Hudson won an Academy Award playing the role of Effie. It's a powerful, powerful show as well. And when we come back from the break, we're going to meet the actress who plays Effie in this production. Give us a little intro of who we're going to be talking to here, Jim.
Naima. Naima represents the caliber of emerging artists that are featured in this production. They're thrilling. The history of the show is all about Motown and Motown-like girl group from the South Side of Chicago, and their rise to fame, and how black artists were breaking into the pop music market, and also about their personal lives, their love lives, the backstage drama, as well as their onstage spectacular numbers and spectacular vocals. I'm real excited about the young emerging talent in this production getting this opportunity to just blow the roof off the place.
Yeah.
Friday night's press opening was so spectacular. Yeah, they're in for a great run.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to see it today. And when we come back from the break, Naima Alakam,
yes,
who plays Effie in
yes
the show, will be joining us. And that's coming up next.
No way, there's no way.
Maybe one of the most signature songs from a show, and I am telling you, from Dreamgirls. Sung on Broadway by the great Jennifer Holliday, sung on film by Jennifer Hudson, who won an Academy Award for it. Now, sung on the Paramount theater stage by Naima Alakam, who joins us on the phone right now. Naima, I hope I pronounced your name correctly. I practiced for about a half an hour.
You did. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I just have to wonder, you know, this iconic song sung by these iconic women on stage and on screen, is it intimidating to take a song on like that? It's been my experience that most actors want to dig right in and kind of make their own mark, you know, taking over a role like that.
Oh, it is absolutely surreal that I have the opportunity to step into these shoes. I am definitely standing on the shoulders of the iconic women who have played this role, Jennifer Holliday, Lilias White, but I definitely did want to be able to also add my mark in there, you know, and make it my own as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you're making your Chicago area debut in this show.
I am.
Yeah. What's your feeling and what's your take so far? How about that gorgeous Paramount Theater, by the way?
Oh my goodness, it is amazing. It's so funny because I actually a couple of years ago when Jesus Christ Superstar went out, I saw it on YouTube.
Yeah.
I saw the clips on YouTube and I was like, oh my goodness, this is unbelievably impactful. And since then I've been following the productions of Paramount through YouTube, and now I'm here. So it's I have to pinch myself sometimes to believe it's real.
Yeah, I'll tell you, as impactful as that production of Jesus Christ Superstar was that you saw on YouTube, I was there that opening night. I still had, when you just said it, I got goosebumps. That's how impactful that show was. They do amazing work out at the Paramount, and I'm so happy that you can
absolutely
be a part of this now. I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm coming out to see the show tonight, and I cannot wait to, you know, see everybody in the show. And I mean, that's the thing about Dreamgirls, right? I mean, it's nostalgic. It's powerful. Mm-hmm. It's poignant. There are so many aspects to Dreamgirls to enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think this story has so much heart and it has so much soul in it. You can connect with each and every single character, and the songs are iconic, and it's an amazing show to be a part of,
yeah,
truly.
It's going to be out at the Paramount until October the 16th. We'll be telling you much more about it, both on TV and radio. And Naima, we'll look forward to seeing you on stage tonight. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Look forward to seeing you there. Thank you.
Have a great night. Thank you very much. All right, it's 10:38. This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Our whole show kind of turned upside down today and somewhat abbreviated because of the debut of Hamp and OB for the new football season. And they'll be coming up at 11 o'clock. So we've taken, you know, some of our regular things here and compressed them down a little bit. But we are very happy to have in studio with us as a guest His Royal Majesty Prince Nicolaus of Greece and Denmark, who is in Chicago for a major photography exhibit that he is presenting, that is called Resilience. Prince Nicolau, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
When we had you on television the other day, I wasn't sure if I should call you, you know, your Majesty.
No,
or...
it's just you can. My friends call me Nicolaus.
Nicolaus, okay, Nicolaus is thank good because I want to be your friend.
Thank you.
It's an honor to meet you. This has been a very poignant week because of the death of Queen Elizabeth and a kind of a refocusing on royal families. You are actually related
yes,
to the British royal family through Prince Philip, who died last year, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we're distant relations. Well, it depends how distant you want to go. But Prince Philip's father was my great-grandfather's brother.
Oh, okay.
So there's a connection there. There's also a connection to her late Majesty the Queen. Through another angle, through Queen Victoria, but it goes very far.
Yeah,
I mean, I remember years ago,
yeah,
when I was a child, my grandmother, Queen Ingrid of Denmark, sat down with me when I was about, I guess, 13, and we started with a small A4 piece of paper to do the family tree, because I was asking who's Aunt so-and-so, who's this and who's that. So she was showing me, and then said, eventually this A4 piece of paper with sticky tape became 10 pieces of paper.
A scroll.
And then my name came up 3 times on the family tree. My father's name came up 3 times on the family tree. So in a sense, I'm my father's son, cousin, and nephew in that sense. But it's, you know, the reason that occurs is basically I'm fortunate enough that history has recorded who my ancestors are. So if we all had the opportunity to do that, we'd probably find similarities in that.
Yeah, of course. But I thought of you when the very sad news of the death of the Queen was announced, and talk of succession and, you know, this family member and that family member. It was only the day before that you were on television with me.
That's right.
And, you know, I had started looking into your family history and your parents and grandparents and the Greek monarchy.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, wow, this is very similar to what Nicolau went through.
Yeah. In fact, Queen Victoria was known as the grandmother of Europe, and King Christian IX, my great-great-great-grandfather, was known as the godfather of Europe, because both of them had a lot of children, and a lot of them married into other royal families of Europe, so it was all interconnected.
Yeah.
It was a very sad day when I found out. I'd actually just finished an interview, and I got a text message from a good friend of mine saying my condolences, and I said, oh, I guess it's happened, because it all happened very quickly. I think even her immediate family were surprised how quickly it took place. Even King Charles, now then Prince of Wales, was having a dinner the night before on the other end of Scotland, and I haven't had a chance to speak to him yet, but I look forward to give my condolences. He's my godfather as well.
Oh, okay. So, well, I hope you're enjoying your stay in Chicago so far.
It couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah.
And predominantly, apart from the beauty of Chicago and its architecture and the beautiful sunshine we've had all these days.
Like we're not having today.
Yeah. But no, it's been great. And most importantly, the people are so nice.
Yeah.
Really so nice. And I'm not talking about people who know who I am, just people on the street everywhere. And my wife, who's does a lot of exploring while I was setting up the exhibition, she would come back with stories every afternoon telling me, this person was so nice, this guy waited for me, this guy gave me a free coffee, this guy, it was just great.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to mention the fact that I'm honored to say that I gave you your first Chicago-style hot dog.
Yeah, where are the hot dogs today?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, we have some lovely Greek pastries from Artopolis Bakery.
I have to tell you, you opened up my appetite, because after I left the studio, I went and I got I got some hot dogs because I really wanted to compete.
I was told that he had never had a Chicago-style hot dog.
And so, I'd never had a Chicago-style pizza either.
Or pizza. So our friends at Lou Malnati sent over pizza for the prince to enjoy.
And
the princess.
The one thing I still haven't had, which I've been promised, and I think I'll get it tomorrow, is a Italian beef sandwich.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, I can give you some good recommendations on that as well. But our friends at George's in Wicker Park sent over some hot dogs.
That was delicious.
They are delicious. despite the fact that you asked, where's the ketchup?
I did that on purpose. Yeah.
Almost started an international incident by bringing up the K word in a discussion with hot dogs. But it, you know, it enabled all the ketchup lovers. Like, if the prince loves ketchup, then it must be okay.
Well, so, for the record, I prefer my hot dogs without it.
Ah, okay. All right. Wow. Yeah. Look at this guy. He's being a politician here, working both sides of the aisle. I haven't been over to the museum yet. The exhibit doesn't officially open until
the 16th.
September 16th, although you've had a couple of previews, which I've been unable to attend. But I've seen some of your photographs, and they are absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
Let me take a quick break, and we come back, and we'll talk about the exhibit called Brazilians by His Royal Majesty Prince Nicolaus, which is at the Chicago National Hellenic Museum in Greektown. Next. WGN 1047, and an honor to have His Royal Highness Prince Nicolaou in studio, the Prince of Greece and Denmark, actual royalty, in studio with us this morning to kick off his photographic exhibit at the National Hellenic Museum. Have you always been a photography buff?
Yes.
Your interest in it must have increased because you're so skilled at this.
That's very kind of you. I know I used to photograph when I was a teenager a lot, and then I went to university and I took myself too seriously, and I was I sort of overlooked it. And my wife, thankfully, one day said to me, you know what, get back into photography. And I said, I'm not really interested. And she said, well, every time you see somebody's camera, you pick it up and you start taking photographs and they're pretty good. So anyway, she encouraged me, and I'm very grateful because it's the thing that really I'm passionate about. And she told me one very key piece of advice once. We went out to Arizona, and I like hiking, and I like hiking at sunrise. So we went up, and I was taking photographs. I came back, and I was a bit frustrated, and she said, what's wrong? I said, I can't capture. It's annoying because, you know, this vast open beauty. I can't capture it on my camera. Hmm. And she said, stop trying to capture the entirety of what you're seeing, but try and capture what it's telling your soul.
Oh.
And boom, just like that, everything changed.
It clicked.
Yeah,
literally. Yeah, clicked, yeah. Except, do cameras really click anymore?
Right? Well, they do, just for the sake of
sound effect.
But yeah. that's what really got me going, and I haven't looked back since. I was also on one day. I remember I was on the roof of my house, taking photographs of a thunderstorm that was brewing, and luckily for me, it never actually occurred. So I had a lot more drama in the sky to photograph. And while I'm looking through the viewfinder, it's almost like meditation because I'm just focusing on the subject matter and nothing else. Everything else is gone. And I came down after I was finished, and I said to my wife, "That was the most incredible 45 minutes of my life." And she said, "You've been up there for 3 hours."
Wow.
So that, yeah.
Wow.
So it just shows you.
Yeah, that demonstrates the passion. You know, if, you know, for most people, you know, if they are photography fans, they'll take a picture of a bowl of fruit or, you know, a sunrise, which, as you were telling the story of the sunrise, I can't even tell you the number of times I've taken photographs of things that I was in nature, that I was experiencing, that were overwhelming. And then I took a picture of it and looked at it later, and I said, this doesn't even come close to capturing
what
I was feeling at that moment, or the entirety of what it was. But your photographs seem to do that. But now I know your secret, so I'm gonna give it a try.
Yeah, absolutely, you should. Yeah, absolutely. And it's not my secret. It's my wife's advice, so use it wisely.
Yeah, so there's a good advice to everybody. Always listen to your wife.
There you go.
Whatever your wife says, you better listen to what she's saying. She's got some wisdom. Talk to me about some of these photos that you do. You've done some. you're explaining to me how you've done some of these photographs that are. It's a photograph, and then
so yeah,
in water, and it's amazing. Really.
Yeah, it all took place. This whole body of work was created during the first lockdown and the pandemic, and we had a pretty strict lockdown in Greece, so. You were only allowed to go leave your house for an hour for exercise in your local area. So I had a feeling that this was happening, so I got all my tools ready, and some of the photographs that I've taken were done for effect. So none of my photographs have any post-production editing for color. The color is what you see, is what you get. What my lens saw is what you'll see on the wall. But what I did is I took photographs that I've already taken earlier. I'd printed them on aluminum, and then I immersed them into a body of water. And once I immersed them in the body of water, I was taking pictures of the surface, which was giving me the color of that original image refracted on the surface. Hmm. And that's what gives you some interesting and abstract images. I had a great time doing it. It was fun. It was very creative. It was I didn't know exactly what I was going to get. I knew what I was aiming for, but you never know because nature has her way. So it depends if it's windy, if it's calm, if it's a cloudy day, if it's a sunny day. All that has a huge effect on the outcome.
Yeah.
And it was great fun. But yeah, that's why I also called it resilience, because as it was done during the pandemic, we all had to be resilient. And as I've said before, in the history of Greece and the Greek nation, they've been resilient, we've been resilient, and we've bounced back from all sorts of difficulties, including occupation for 400 years, including international combat, civil strife, famine, financial crisis, and most recently the pandemic. And that's, I feel that it resonates with everybody, because I think pretty much everyone all over the world had a certain degree of lockdowns and restrictions, and we had to be resilient to find ways to keep ourselves mentally sane. And we're still in it, but we're much better for it now. But that's where the theme came from, resilience.
Yeah. I'm curious what the life of a prince is like. What is life
same as
like
yours
for royalty?
Same as yours. I have.
Did you rake the leaves yesterday? Because that's what I did.
Did I do what?
I worked in the yard.
I'm staying in a hotel, and there's
sweaty
no leaves.
Mess.
But when I'm at home,
quite a treat for my neighbors, by the way, to be able to see them.
I'm glad you still rake, because most people use these horrible blowers,
oh,
which make
I hate
a terrible
those,
noise.
Where you blow your debris on someone else's.
Exactly.
That's one of my pet peeves in life. It's like, how rude are you?
Yeah.
Not picking up your own debris, but blowing it on your neighbor's.
Yeah,
property.
No. At home, I'll clean my own yard.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's the same as anybody else's life. I just happen to have this as part of my heritage.
Your heritage,
And, you know, I've worked in WNYW, Channel 5, New York. I've worked in finance. I've worked in banking. I've worked in consulting. I went to Brown University. I did everything like everybody else. Funny story, actually. When I arrived in Brown University my freshman year, we all had our names outside the doors. But I purposely didn't want them to use my title, so they just said Nikolaos of Greece. And my freshman roommate, who still today is one of my best friends, had his name outside. It says Stanley Shashua. And he scratched out Shashua and said, of New York.
Of course, that's what you would have to do. It is a real pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. And I've had a fantastic time in Chicago. Last night we had a fundraiser for the museum at the Hilton, a big gala event with more than 750 people. We raised a lot of money. John Koudounis and John Kalamos, who are on the board of the National Hellenic Museum, have done a fantastic job with that museum, and they did a great job last night raising money. I don't know the final tally yet, but it was exceptionally successful. So, fingers crossed. You know, National Hellenic Museum, by the way, is not just a cultural center which shows art. They've been very, very busy during the pandemic. They've fed over 500,000 people during the pandemic from funds of the National Hellenic Museum. So my hat goes off to them, and I'm extremely proud for what they've done in your community.
Yeah, the photographic exhibit will open officially on Friday, September the 16th, and will run through the end of the year, December 30th, at the National Hellenic Museum. Try to get to see that. Thank you to Artopolis Cafe and Bakery. They sent over some. They're right across
the street. I can't wait to try some.
Yeah, yeah, right. You have to be careful eating the Greek sweets, because they can be very messy. But they're certainly delicious. But thank you.
Can't be messier than a deep pan pizza.
Or a hot dog. A fully stocked hot dog. That's very true. Thank you.
Dean, it's been a pleasure.
It's been my pleasure.